Good morning, everyone. Last week, two of our parishioners gave me an envelope that had some scribble on it from their 7-year-old granddaughters, Doug and Paula, and from the memorial service that was a couple of weeks ago. Now, I get these from time to time where children will attempt to fill out the information on a card or an envelope, and some will have stick figures or pictures on it, and I cherish those as they are handed to me because they're thinking about it. Or our envelopes that are in front of you in the pew, they have statements on it and a fill in the blank. It says, my special gift for, and fill in the blank. My regular offering for, fill in the blank. I am a visitor, fill in the blank. I would like the pastor to call, fill in the blank. Well, this little girl wrote, my special gift for mommy, and then crossed out mommy and wrote Kelly. And then she got down to the pastor inquiry and says, I would like the pastor to call 911. Now, as I thought about that this past week for a while, that's really not too far off from the truth. Preachers around the world, from churches meeting under an oak tree in the bush somewhere to mega churches to everything in between, are hopefully offering something precious, a lifeline to the Father. Words of hope, words of encouragement, words of a loving God. When we dial 911, we usually, there is a life at stake. Well, for many, their spiritual lives are at stake as well. And I don't think any scripture can exemplify that more than what we just heard today in our gospel reading. The words we heard spoken from and at the cross. Our gospel lesson today certainly seems a bit out of place for this time of year. Here we are, the last weekend in the season of Pentecost. It's also called Christ the King Sunday. And we're reading a portion of the Passion that we normally read around Palm Sunday. Now, why is that? Pentecost is a season when we celebrate the birth in the church and we are spreading the good news of Christ to others through the power of the Holy Spirit. Next week begins Advent when we prepare for or remember the events that lead to the birth of Christ and also certainly looking forward to his return as well. But here we are with a scripture reading on the crucifixion. And from this, we hear some powerful words. These are words that we need to listen to, and we should never forget them. You see, everything that we do in the Christian faith has its origin on what Jesus has done for us and continues to do for us through the Holy Spirit. Every ministry that we do, whether evangelism, outreach, pastoral care, worship, Christian formation, they all have their core and focus on what Jesus has done for us. I believe if we look at these words, we can see the gospel message laid out before us. The human condition and our spiritual hunger. In these words, we see a reflection of who we are, who we can be, and what salvation has done for us. But first, let's look at the first words that we see from the cross. They are the words spoken by Jesus. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, who is he speaking to? The Roman soldiers? Pilate? The people crying out, crucify him? The disciples who scattered? I think he was speaking to all of them. In fact, I think he was speaking to the human race. That's why he came. And these words are still ringing through the course of history. Despite all the issues of human life, despite the times that mankind has failed to see and follow God who created them, here in this time of agony, he specifies forgiveness. Jesus is right. Many don't know what they do. And many are desperate for something. And we see that desperation of the human condition in the next words that we hear from the cross. And it comes from the thief who mocked Jesus. Here's a man who is about to die. He literally sees no hope in his future. His life is done. In his words, I can see the heart of a desperate man. Some try to depict his words as hatred, but this thief cried out, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." I think this man was just plain lost and saw no hope. He was grasping at anything to get out of the situation that he was currently in. And if you find yourself in a life or death situation, most of us will do anything to get out of it. It's survival mode. It's kind of like that old Western movie plot. See, ever seen those where someone is jailed by a corrupt sheriff? Someone else comes along and breaks them out of jail so they can prove their innocence. And then the real criminal in the next cell says, "What about me?" Well, that's why I see this guy. All this thief on the cross wanted was to get out of the situation. Go back home. If Jesus can do all these things, this is his way out. Otherwise, I'm a goner. You see, without Christ, that is who we are. A feeling of being lost and empty. The result is that they can only place their hope on what is around them. Their hope is found only in the definition of whatever life brings to them, whatever brings them completion. And when that runs out, they find something else. And when that runs out, they look for something else. And when the end comes near, all they want to do is go back, "Get me out of this situation." They're essentially calling 911 about their life. What we learn from these words is that the human condition is lost. You could do a man on the street. I bet you could do a man on the street and go out and ask anyone, "What do you want out of life?" And the answer most likely for most people is, "I want to be happy." For many, they don't know where true happiness comes from. Unless that is, you see what the other thief sees. Because his words are the next words that we hear from the cross. He rebukes the first thief. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." This thief sees something deeper in Jesus, something eternal. He knows he's done wrong, and in his mind, he and the other thief are paying for the crimes that they committed. But this thief also sees Jesus getting punished for something he did not do. He's like the innocent man thrown in jail by the corrupt sheriff, that is Jesus. And he is, outside of the fact that this is why Jesus came. He came to fulfill this. So this thief looks at Jesus and says these words, words that ring through history. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Dying on the cross, this thief is searching for an inner peace. His heart is moved. Maybe he had heard Jesus at some point. Maybe he knew there was more to this man than being mere human. Whatever the reason, he reaches out to Jesus for forgiveness. He was searching for the very thing that Jesus said first. And here is what is remarkable. It is the next words that we hear from Jesus. These words contain the hope and the promise that we have in Christ. And these words are filled with joy, even in death, when Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, today you'll be with me in paradise." Picture this for a moment. Two dying persons hanging on an instrument of death, one a sinner, one the Son of God, one reaching out for truth, and the other offering it. What a tremendous surge of hope this thief must have felt in the last hours of his human life. "I'm going to be with the Father today, not tomorrow, not after a long period of time of waiting, but today as my soul leaves this body, I'm going to be with Jesus in paradise." What a relief he must have felt through the pain and the suffering that he was enduring. But before we leave the words spoken from the cross, let's look at the words spoken to the cross. These are the words of the people. While on the cross, Jesus faced all kinds of torment and mocking, and many made fun of him. Come down from there if you're the Christ. He saved others. Let him save himself. These were similar to the temptations that he received when he was in the desert. Remember that? If you're the Christ, jump from this pinnacle. Turn these stones into bread. Worship me and I'll give you all the lands. If he had wanted, he had the power to do all those things. But Jesus knew who he was. He didn't need anything to be given to him. All that the Father has is already his and always has been. You see, this is for them too. Numerous Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled in the crucifixion of Jesus. His clothes being sold, his bones not being broken, people scoffing at him on the cross. The Old Testament calls us back to God and points to Christ. And through his death, we are given forgiveness of sins and salvation. And through his resurrection, we're given new life. Paul reminds us in Colossians, may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. Paul wrote those words to a church that was struggling. And nothing has really changed since, because the human condition hasn't changed really. We still struggle with sin. We still struggle with the world around us. Jesus reminds us in Mark what separates us, and these are his words, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean, for from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make one unclean. I don't know about you, but if I were to sit down and inventory my life, there are some of those things that try to creep in on me. But thank God, I can look at him and say, Lord, you've forgiven me. Give me strength to carry on your call in my life. There's a song that has been really resonating through my heart over the last couple of weeks since I've heard it. It's become real popular over the last several weeks by Christian singer Toby Mac. Now, some of you might know Toby Mac from years ago. He used to be with a group called DC Talk. And now he sings on his own and with his own little group. And quite famous in the Christian artist world of singing. And I'll share with you in the next Nativity Now that I send out, I'll have a link to this song. If you like rap a little bit, there's a little bit of that in there. But the song itself really, it takes me back. And here's the lyrics. I was young and running wide open. It was just another summer night. Had to be the last thing on my mind when love broke through. You found me in the darkness, wandering through the desert. I was a hopeless fool. Now I'm hopelessly devoted. My chains are broken, and it all began with you when love broke through. You see, for me, when I think of the way I was, and then that summer afternoon for me, some 40 years ago, and God broke through in my life and changed everything. I don't have to be controlled by sin that creeps into my life. I can seek his forgiveness and go on. And that is the promise for all of us. And here is what we can learn from these words spoken from the cross. For one, as a people who are redeemed by Christ and filled with his Spirit, we can offer to others the hope that we share. Jesus didn't let one moment pass him by. Even in his dying breath, he reached out to a lost soul and said, today you're going to be with me. Our prayer should be that of our colic this morning. Listen again to this part of it. I have it up on the screens for you. It's in yellow. Mercifully grant that the peoples of the earth, divided and enslaved by sin, may be freed and brought together under his most gracious rule. How are they going to hear that? The only way is through us. That's why the ministries that we do as a part of the body of Christ are so important. Whatever it is we are doing is an opportunity in opening a door to the good news of Christ. This week we loaded 1,300 boxes for Operation Christmas Child. Every one of those boxes, there's going to be a message. And I heard from Andy this past week, each box, something like 59 people are going to hear the message from that one box. That's just one little thing. It's a big thing, but it's just one thing. When we pray, we need to be ready to move to where God is. Not moving God to where we are. We need to go to where God is. You see, anytime we can touch someone with the gospel, we are offering them hope. It's like they're calling 911. And we are answering the phone and saying, "What's your emergency? Let me tell you about the life giver. Let me share with you what hope really is." Because many of them are facing desperate times in their lives. Many of them just want to get off that cross that they are on and don't know where to turn. It is we who know Christ who need to bring them the hope that they are searching for, to share with them. That is only found in Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us, we will be doing these things. Go and make disciples. Go proclaim the good news. Go pray for the sick. Go and be my ambassadors. Why am I so emphatic about this? Did you hear the words of God through Jeremiah? Woe to the shepherds who scatter the sheep. Wow. You know what? I don't want God's woe on me. That is a warning to me and others like me that still rings today. As I told you a few sermons ago, I, for one, am not going to compromise the gospel message. I, for one, am not going to water it down to simply tingle the ears of what some itching ears want to hear. I take God's word seriously, and I hope you do as well. Sometimes the word seems harsh, like last week, which Roz did a great job in sharing with us. Those were tough words to listen to. But sometimes the word of God is rebuking. Sometimes the word of God is encouraging. Sometimes the word of God is uplifting and praising. But it's all the time offered to us as something loving and is for our benefit. The writer of Hebrews tells us, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." God's word is Jesus made flesh, who came into this world that we might have eternal life. God's word is a lamp to all of us who carry out his call and ministry in our lives. God's word opens to us unlimited possibilities to all who will listen, receive, and follow. With God's living word, Jesus Christ, and through the Holy Spirit, you will never be alone. And if you are one who hasn't made that call to him, I encourage you to do so. When you call on Jesus, you are promised he is there. And know this, no matter what you're going through in life, he is there for you. He will give you strength. He will give you encouragement. He will give you hope. He will give you direction. He will sustain you. But most of all, when it is all said and done, he will give you eternal life. When he says, "On that day, today, you will be with me in paradise." May we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your life-giving spirit. We thank you for what you did on that cross, Lord God, that you opened the door of salvation for all who would hear it, all who would receive it, Lord God. And if there's anybody here today who's never done that, or who is waffling, who's walking the fence, but have not made that decision, I ask, Lord God, that you have them open their hearts to receive you as their Lord and Savior. Fill them with your presence of your Spirit, Lord God. And Father, for all of us, I pray that you would continue to walk with us and guide us on the path that you have for us, not only in this place, but in churches all over this community, Lord God, as we are part of the body of Christ. And Father, I thank you for that. I thank you for all that you are doing and continue to do through each and every person here today. May they not walk out of here unchallenged, Lord God. Open their heart. Help them to see you and all that you have for them. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.